Hey, it's the SWP podcast. Thanks for being with us. It's presented by All Insurance Ontario, Jim K. Ford, and Pico Pizza. Jim K. Ford is a full-service commercial and fleet dealership. For years, Jim K. has supplied the Ottawa area with Ford work trucks of all sizes to get the job done right. Whether you're in towing, landscaping, or moving, whether you're big or small, Jim K. has solutions, from the small delivery vans right up to the powerful F-750 and everything in between. If you can't find what you're looking for, let the Jim K. team know, and they can likely get it for you at a price that fits your budget. Jim K. Ford, Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
Do you find shopping around for insurance a time-consuming hassle? I'm Josh from All Insurance Ontario. Send me a text and let me take it from there. You'll be surprised at how easy it can be. 613-860-6008. All Insurance Ontario, your modern boutique broker.
We all love pizza, but around here it's the same old, same old. Either quick and dirty pizza chains or fine dining hotspots. But who said there couldn't be something in between? Pico is that place. A home for authentic, custom-crafted Neapolitan pizza, but fired up in 90 seconds, enjoyed without a reservation, white tablecloth or 20% gratuity, and you create your own masterpiece with fresh, unlimited toppings for just $14. Pico, 170 Metcalf or 236 Richmond Road.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Hey everybody, welcome to the SWP Daily. It's a podcast about sports and whatever. It's a daily deal every weekday, powered by you, the good listener. Our awesome sponsors and our members. A shout out to our newest member pulling on the rope with us, Brett Sullivan. And membership info, you can check out stevewproject.com. Steve Warren along with Jim Jerome, mucking it up in the corners. James, how are things?
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
I was starting out to do a Bing Crosby thing, and it ended up like Elvis, didn't it?
Just like the one I used to know.
All the crooners sound the same, whether you want your Dean Martin, your Sinatra, your Elvis.
People are going to think, oh my God, he's got Elvis on the show.
Just like the one I used to know, when the sleigh bells are ringing.
Yeah, why am I going to a scat? I might go back into my scat. Sheep, but even if it up, I'm dreaming of a fum-ba-da-da-dee-doo.
So what has you in a Christmas jag today?
No, it's pouring snow right now.
Okay.
Yeah, pouring snow at my -6. Yeah, but it's just starting to dump, starting to get dumps here. They're dumping all over Edmonton.
Brutal. So,
yeah, I know.
We're still good here. We got a big rainfall a couple of days ago. I think I mentioned at the end of the show, I was worried about my Christmas lights, which I turned on basically the day after Remembrance Day. So I was right into it, and I am right into it. I'm embracing it in this terrible 2020 we've been having. I'm more into Christmas than I've been in a long time, and I'm safe. Oh. I'm glad to say that that monsoon we had the other day, my Christmas lights did not short out.
Oh, there you go. Right. I was telling you, get up there, lick your fingers and twist the bulbs a little bit. That would help.
Yeah, it was a terrible idea.
My favorite, I was trying to think of my favorite Christmas moments. One had to be when my brother Paul and I, years ago in the 70s, we were living up in Kingsmere. And my sister Megan, right, is 13 years younger than I am. So we were past the Santa Claus age. So we're kind of 14, 15. So Megan's 2-3 years old, maybe we're a bit older. She was 4 or 5, right? And going ballistic about Santa Claus, right? Megan can't sleep Christmas Eve. And she was waiting for Santa, checking the chimney, right? She was looking at the chimney going, this guy can get down there, you know?
He's a shapeshifter.
Yeah, but she's 4 or 5, right? They don't go any further than that, Steve. They don't sort of break it down and go, well, look, it's all full of soot and everything. How's he going to get down there? Okay, they're just... whatever I got to believe, okay, I'm in, okay? Don't wreck this for me. So my brother and I got hammered Christmas Eve and decided to put on, it was me, actually put on a pair of construction boots. Remember we all wore the Greb Kodiaks, Stevie, back in the day? Put those on, and then what we would do is step into some ashes in the fireplace. And then walk from the fireplace, Steve, leaving a little, you know, right to the bottom of the tree, right? Going, she's going to freak out seeing the tracks of Santa Claus walking across the rug, you know, to the tree. It's a pretty good idea, Steve.
Not okay. For your mom.
Well, no, it's okay though. It's you know, how about it's just ashes, right? You can mop those up and vacuum them in a second. Or not, Steve, as a couple of embers stuck to the bottom of the boots. So as I walked across the rug, right, it was a tss, tss, tss. Yeah, burnt a few holes in the rug, Stevie. Not a strong idea. Not a strong idea at the time, you know. Unnecessary, as my father said. We had her. We had her already, boys, you know. About Santa Claus. We didn't.
Even the best case scenario is not going to be a good scenario unless you have like a black carpet.
Yeah.
Even the best case scenario was still going to be going to get a rug cleaner and all that stuff. Cause that ain't coming up with just a vacuum.
Yeah. Not a great idea. Burnt holes in that. And I think I've told this story when I was a kid delivering Christmas cards with my father. My dad was like running for his life all the time. He just had so much on the go. And we were up in Sudbury, and of course he was the member of parliament, and Christmas Eve, you know, he had like, oh my God, I forgot to deliver these Christmas cards, you know? So he threw me in the car and off we went. He had a beautiful new Buick LeSabre, Stevie, that he had just picked up, you know, a couple weeks before. So he would leave me in the car as he dashed into these people to drop off these Christmas cards. And so I grabbed one of those little wee plastic scrapers, Stevie. Okay. Like the just the one that's the size of your hand, you know, those ones. Okay. To clean ice off. And then I used the corner of it, Steve, and poked my initials into the dash of the brand new Buick LeSabre. Yeah. And so my dad got in the car and go, look at dad, look what I did. He was like, he says, no, you didn't do that. No, you know, yeah,
man. Anyway. It seemed like your whole childhood was, how can I be a jerk today?
I don't know. It came back to bite me in the ass though. Years later, Stevie, when I bought the coolest car that I bought was, I don't know, 10 years. I bought a low profile, cool 4-door sports car, and I loved that thing. And my kids were in the back, just out of the car seat. Okay, just out of the car seat. And we were driving along. My kid all of a sudden got quiet, you know. They were yapping away for a while. And then, you know, we pulled up to McDonald's or something. I looked back and he had sunk his teeth, Steve, into the door right below the window, the back door. Just bit. I made a row of bite marks all along the door. And I went, okay, karma. Karma from 45 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a genetic thing, really.
It must be.
There's the tree and there's the apple. It has not gone very far.
There's everyone biting into cars, poking holes. What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
Anyway. How about you, Stevie? Your Christmas stuff, you know? Well,
I've got lots of Christmas stories. I don't want to get too much into the Christmas angle of things. We have a long haul before Christmas, so we'll have a few Christmas specials along the way. But one thing I was thinking about my childhood, though, and you're not much older than me, so you were probably raised on Bugs Bunny, right?
For sure. Yep.
Yeah. So I was thinking of him a little bit. Exactly.
Yep.
And I think you can agree that among the best Bugs Bunny cartoons of all time was the Rabbit of Seville. Right, a play on the famous opera, The Barber of Seville.
Uh-huh.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Was this like where the opera guy? No.
No, the opera guy is good as well, but this is like Elmer, as usual, he's trying to blow Bugs' head off with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And and he chases Bugs into the opera house, and it's about half an hour before showtime, and suddenly they're mistaken as stars of the show. The conductor goes, wait, it's not time yet, but oh, all right, here we go. Because Bugs and Elmer are running around and stuff. And so, again, they're mistaken for the stars. And And so, basically, at one point in this cartoon, Bugs somehow brings an electric razor to life. And it attacks and hammers Elmer again and again and again on the ass. Like just bam, bam with this electric razor over and over again. And I was thinking about that scene today because I found a new barber that I really like. I like the way he cuts my hair and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, oh my God, like zero touch at all. Like just hammering me with these clippers in the side of my skull every time. Like, what am I, a sheep over here?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
So it's a bit of, I don't know if you've ever had a barber like that before, but just absolutely skewering me with these clippers and does an amazing job, but I feel like did he draw blood on that one? Just awful.
Yeah, I've never had a barber like that, but it reminds me of my old dentist who I retired. Okay, I fired my old dentist because he had hands like a freaking welder. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Cut my lip, Steve, one time with the pressure. Like just, you know, they got to get into your mouth, Steve, right? They got to get in there with all their tools. And then he would, you know, open wide, please. Open, you know, constantly telling me to open wide. One time he had to put that block in there so my jaw would stay open. You know, that rubber block they'll put in your teeth?
Sure.
Right,
sure.
To keep your jaw open. It's hard to believe, Steve, that people would say, you had trouble keeping your mouth open? Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah, so that was... You reminded me of that when you said about your barber. So he would push.
And you always love those ones as a kid, right? When you're a kid, you get the X-ray, and they just didn't make them for kids. Those little cardboard things they stick in the side of your cheek to get an X-ray.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
They never made them kid-sized. Yeah. They brought in the extra, extra, extra large, and you're like, okay, clamp down on that. It's like, oh, it's going through the roof of my mouth.
Yeah. Or the X-ray now thing, that it's like the worst design thing ever. So it's a big, it's like a metal rod with a metal circle on the end. You know that one? Where they put it into your mouth and they tell you to bite down on this thing. You're like, there's nowhere to bite down on this. Right? You got that big, you know, and then throwing the lead pads on. Maybe that's what happened to me, Steve. Maybe that's where I've lost my mind. I took all those X-rays and she never, I said, don't worry about the lead pad. Don't worry about it. I'll pass on that. She went, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. If you want.
I went in for a cleaning just a couple of weeks ago, and they don't they've put away all their electrical stuff. There's nothing, there's no power involved. There's no buffering or anything like that. There's no little thing that takes away the plaque.
Why? Because of COVID?
Yep. So they just basically they take their Captain Hook thing there and just pick away and get it all manually, basically. Gross. Yeah, and it was very gross. Let's move along, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Lots to get to here. Let's start today with a couple of hockey notes. And one of them is that the Florida Panthers have made a little history. They've hired a guy named Brett Peterson, and they say that, they believe anyway, that he's the first black assistant general manager in NHL history. The GM of the team is Bill Zito, and he was quoted on an ESPN saying, if it means that we're expanding opportunities for people in hockey, then I'm humbled, but this was a hockey hire. Hockey is such a great game. We do need to make it accessible. And my first thought on that was, I think that's true, but it does create the appearance that hockey is, or has been, making it a policy to shut people out based on skin color. And I don't really feel like that's been the case. What I think it's a case, Jimmy, of is that hockey's become a sport for really, really rich people. And most of the wealth in this continent and Europe is controlled by white people. So I think the NHL's lack of diversity is more of a society problem. And it's certainly a cost problem as well. I think that's more the issue at play here. When you start talking about the accessibility of the NHL, you know, I heard somebody say today that absolutely hockey has to get more diverse. For sure that's true, but I don't think it's for the reasons that people think.
You know, all the social injustice stuff, all the inclusivity things that have, you know, come to the forefront, right, in the last, particularly in the last, you know, two or three years, right, with incidents of racism, right? We all know about them. Right. And what they're going to do. And then the Black Lives Matter movement. So this thing was on steroids, you know, the last couple of years. And so you get a lot of people talking about it, Steve, right? You get a lot of people, social media goes upside down with it. You get people marching, you get people protesting. So you got action here. Okay. You got action. It needed to go further. Right? And I've always said that all these things, all the, when we look at Black Lives Matter or the Me Too movement, et cetera, you know, gay rights, all that stuff. In the end, it's a call for action, right? So they do the right thing, Steve. They do the right thing, right? You can release statements, Steve, after all that, and we're the Florida Panthers, and we don't want to characterize ourselves as this or that or and not being all inclusive and stuff. So what they do is they hire, you know, a Black general manager, right? So
assistant.
So it's good. It's good. You know, that's yeah. What do you call it? Walking the walk, you know,
Money where your mouth is.
Money where your mouth is. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's had an effect, you know, it's had an effect. So
for sure. Yeah. And my point is just, I don't ever feel, and maybe you can chime in on this. I don't ever feel like anybody is in 2020, at least certainly I would expect it has occurred. I mean, the NHL has been around, you know, for over 100 years for sure. People have been shut out at all levels of hockey, but that's true of any sport based on being a minority, for example. I feel like in 2020, though, that the thing that is keeping a lot of people out of hockey across the board, people of all skin colors and backgrounds, is how incredibly expensive it is. Like right now, there are certainly programs. Canadian Tire's got one. I think they call it Quick Start. Mm-hmm. It's not Quick Start. Something along those lines, though. I apologize for not having it at my fingertips. But they have a great program that allows for families to get funding so the kids can play hockey, right? Kids that would have that are from families that can't afford to play. So that's a mm-hmm. very good thing. But let's not mistake that for a child who will now have a chance to be in the NHL because they've had this funding. Because the reality is that's enough to get them into play rec league, house league hockey. It's certainly not going to be enough dough to get you where you want to go. Like kids who make the NHL, they're from families who've been spending $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a year on hockey. Not the, I don't know what house league is, $500-$600. So I just feel like the biggest thing that needs to change now is for hockey. If they're truly interested in making it accessible, they have to remove the financial barrier and that's, I think, what that comes down to. That's the biggest factor at play here in 2020, I believe. I don't feel like the NHL is keeping anybody out. Like, to me, best player is getting through.
Well, and you're okay with that? The best player getting through?
Absolutely. And it should right. always have been that way. But in the past, the best player might not have gotten through, regardless of what sport you're talking about. Quinton Byfield was the number two overall selection in the NHL draft this year. He didn't drop or anything like that. So I feel like hockey is well past any of that that probably existed in the 50s or whatever. But when we talk about, again, back to the statement by Bill Zito, he says, hockey is such a great game. We need to make it accessible on a day like this where you have the first Black assistant GM in NHL history. That I think is great. But mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is to make it more financially accessible, but I think that is the biggest barrier that exists right now.
Yeah, you know, we were talking the other day, right, about marketing teams and the jerseys and all that stuff, right, that the NHL came out with these 31 new jerseys. And we got into a little talk about if you want to market something, you got to do it towards the kids, right? Although they aren't the ones who are buying, but their parents are, you know? And, you know, that's where Xbox, right, came in, where every kid needs this new Xbox and it's $1 jillion, and running shoes. You know, I remember when my kids were going to high, they're out of high school now, but you're like, these little bastards, God, they really know what they're doing. Cause the kid comes home and goes, sure, you know, I need the high tops. I need all this. Hockey, it sort of has the same thing. You know, they're going, okay, every kid in Canada, for example, dreams of playing in the NHL, wants to play hockey. You know, there's no sign of the amount of kids playing hockey going down, right, Stevie? It's like huge. So what they end up doing...
I think it has dropped a little. I think the participation level has dropped in the
grassroots.
Okay,
well, maybe it's dropped a little. But so the hockey world, okay, equipment suppliers, all right, all these guys go, oh, we got an idea. Let's make the sticks really expensive, okay? And Mark, excuse me, and you bring up, you know, the cost to play hockey for your son is in the thousands of dollars, and that's not even at peak level, right? It's, you know, just to play in a league, you know, and do normal travel and stuff like that. It's thousands of bucks, you know. Mm-hmm. Mark Messier years ago, I remember he said, this thing's going to blow up, man. It's going to blow up in their face if they don't keep the cost of this down. And he always said the only, you know, the biggest problem with hockey is that at the grassroots level, like you said, Steve, it's way too expensive. It's way too expensive. And it won't survive. Maybe, you know, something's got to give, you know, eventually, Stevie, with, I don't know the cost of equipment, but I know last time someone told me the price of a pair of skates, it was staggering, mm-hmm. staggering. And you would know better than I am. So you're right. You're right. That's, you know, they got to make it more accessible to everybody, you know, yep. to everybody. And I agree with you. I agree.
$1,000 for a high-end skate right now.
No
way.
You
probably go, yeah, you get north of 1,000 easy. Like just for playing, again, I got a pair of old Tacks. CCM came out with Tacks again about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
Right.
And I was excited about that because I haven't had them for years. They don't bear any resemblance to the Tacks we wore as kids, which were mostly made out of leather. Mm-hmm. It's now that sort of composite stuff. But yeah, that still ran me $300.
Well, you know, the school uniform was a brilliant idea to be all inclusive, you know, where kids have, whether it's a private school or not, or whatever it is. But, you know, to have a school uniform is a brilliant idea because it separates nobody then. Okay. No one knows whether this kid is from the inner city. He doesn't know if he's a single mother. He doesn't know how disadvantaged they are. So he gets to, you know, the obvious, right? Is everyone looks the same, Steve. Brilliant. Brilliant
yeah,
idea.
It's not perfect, but it's a good system.
Yeah. Well, don't you wish, you know, when I think back, I wish the high school my kids went to had that because, you know, there's kids who show up with $1,000 worth of gear on, Stevie, mm-hmm. you know, because some parents can afford it.
Yeah, it's a good thing, you know, from a social standpoint, for sure. You don't feel as excluded. You feel more part of things. You're not having the rich kids sort of stand out because of the cool gear they get to wear versus an underprivileged family that sends right. their kids to school with, you know, stuff that other kids are going to make fun of or whatever. For sure, it's great from that standpoint. But it also, I don't know, feels a bit robotic at the same time as well. That you have to wear the same thing, monotone, every day, well, robotic.
You know, it's a good example of it becoming all-inclusive and accessible. That's the good word about this. You know, how do you make this accessible to everyone, regardless of cost, you know, to try and fix that? The sport of golf started doing that a long time ago. You know, when Tiger Woods came on the scene, you know, there's at that time, there wasn't many black golfers, you know, and they developed this thing called First Tee, which was exactly what we're talking about to make this sport available to anyone, regardless of skin color or income, you know, and they've done a remarkable job with, you know, marketing the sport for all people. So
you misheard it when you first heard it. You thought they said, because it's First Tee, you thought they said thirsty.
Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yes. That's lame, man. Back in the day, that was very lame. Yeah. You know, if you leave that in, okay, that's up to you. Anyway, it's a good topic. Yeah, it's a good topic.
All right, let's take a time out of the program. When we come back, we'll get into 5 changes that I think would make the NHL better. That's coming up after these words.
Man, staying in shape is extra challenging these days. Thankfully, there's Popeye Supplements Ottawa with great products and advice to help you reach your health and fitness goals. Popeye's is proud to showcase great Canadian brands like TC Nutrition out of Saskatoon, providing customers with the highest quality supplements backed by science with flavors second to none. Find this great Canadian brand and more at Popeye Supplements Ottawa, with six locations to serve you, or popeyesonlineorders.com.
A lot of people I talk to end up asking me about what coverages should they have for their house. How much do I need? Why would I want that? Hi, I'm Jared Gerard, All Insurance Ontario. Call or text me at 801-2659. Give me a call. Let's have that talk, and we'll make sure that you have the coverages that you want and that you need. All Insurance Ontario, your modern boutique broker.
Jim K. Ford is a full-service commercial and fleet dealership. For years, Jim K. has supplied the Ottawa area with Ford work trucks of all sizes to get the job done right. Whether you're in towing, landscaping, or moving, whether you're big or small, Jim K. has solutions, from the small delivery vans right up to the powerful F-750 and everything in between. If you can't find what you're looking for, let the Jim K. team know, and they can likely get it for you at a price that fits your budget. Jim K. Ford, Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com. Hey, if you're buying or selling your home in the Ottawa area, I recommend the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. Glenn helped us set the right price for our home, and the response from buyers was amazing. He also set aside a budget to help us out with painting, cleaning, staging, and lighting. The house looked amazing, and our home sold in less than a week for well over asking price. You should connect with Glenn today at glennwalton.com. James, changes that should make the NHL better. Of course, we'd like to make it more accessible, make it cheaper, accessible to all. Mm-hmm. So that's been covered. But is there anything that you would like to see the NHL do? I've got five at the ready. Is there anything that you would like to see the NHL do that would make the league better?
I'd have to think about that one, Stevie.
Then I'll get you to react to what I have.
Okay.
Okay, so I hate the shootout. I'd like to see them just play 3-on-3 for a longer period at least, and ideally until someone scores.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of the puck over glass scenario. I've despised that forever. Then you've got your Russ Cortnell thing that I will give him credit for that one, because I had not heard it before. In that he thinks that when they hand out the Stanley Cup, it shouldn't be Gary Bettman. What is the point of bringing out the tiny perfect commissioner and have him booed every single year when you could bring in Wayne Gretzky to hand out the cup?
Right.
Tell me NHL players would not get a way bigger kick out of that. Or some other NHL celebrity. Whatever.
Right. Yeah. Have the guy who handles the cup, you know, the white glove guy, have him do it. Everyone knows that guy's a household appearance now.
A household appearance?
Yeah. Or whatever that means. Household name. We don't know his name, but we know what he looks like. You know, the guy with the black jacket and the white gloves. That guy's been carrying around the cup for years.
But no, I would get it from Gary Bettman. That guy's way too famous for lugging around a box. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get any kind of kick out of that if I'm a hockey player. Oh, look, it's white gloves guy. With the terrible haircut from 1983.
Right.
And draft lottery, that's got to go. It should be impossible for a team like the New York Rangers to be as far along as they are in their rebuild to win the first overall draft pick. That was a joke this year. Mm-hmm. The seven teams that didn't make the playoffs in the expanded 24-team playoffs this year, one of those seven teams that didn't make the playoffs, they should be the ones that absolutely get the top pick overall. Not a club that was in the fray in that play-in round, as the New York Rangers were. And lastly, hits from behind. This is more, it's not a rule change per se. I guess I just want to see some more reasonable behavior, and that the officials, that the analysts who call the games on TV, they start looking at things reasonably and affording for the fact that guys are spinning at the last second like morons. Defenseman mm-hmm. going back, he's skating. So, like, let's say defenseman retrieving into his own zone, he's heading for the left post to go around the net. Are you picturing that right now?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. The puck is behind the net, and there's a guy giving chase. And then at the very last second, Buddy grabs the puck and spins back in the opposite direction
and gets absolutely clobbered from behind into the end boards. And then everybody's like, oh, look at that, hit from behind, what a joke.
Right.
Some hits are malicious. I understand that. But there are a lot of hits from behind that are happening right now because the guy going to get the puck is being a moron.
Right. Right.
So there's my five.
I couldn't think of five. I mean, I can't. You know, it's
you can't. You won't.
The shootout for sure. I love the 3-on-3. Love it. Love it. You know, I just think it's great. I thought they should play overtime right until someone scores, but the powers that be have said no. The players want games to end as quickly as possible, right? Because of the rigorous schedule, right? They want to end the thing. They want to get it over with. So, if that's the case, then maybe go back to tie games, right? Is one thing I would consider as a change. If it's tied at the end of three, it's tied at the end of three, and that's a result of the game. That wouldn't bother me at all. But if they're not going to, then go to the 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. Same thing with 3-on-3. I would do it also, Steve, in regular play. You get a bunch of penalties, you know, at the same time. I don't know, but bench clearing brawls or whatever. I would love to see 3-on-3 without saying got to have a minimum four guys or something like that. The other thing is that Don Cherry had a great point one time about all this stuff you're talking about, hitting from behind, dirty hits, you know, going for the head, you know, going for the neck, cross-checking, all the stuff that's dirty in hockey. And I remember one night watching him, and he brought on one of the elbow pads that the players wear, and they're made of rock. You know, they're made of absolute concrete. Okay. You could smash your elbow into an oncoming semi, man, and you wouldn't hurt your elbow. And he said, we got to change it. You got to make the equipment softer. And you'll see that a lot of dirty hits and a lot of crazy shit on the ice would be stopped because of that, you know? And at first when I heard, I'm like, well, no, they got to protect themselves if they fall and shit like that. But, that's not a bad idea, right? Not a bad idea that maybe the shoulder pads are a little smaller. I mean, they're pretty small now. So I would like
with the elbow pad, just to chime in on that. When he first said that, I agreed with it because it was pretty common for the elbow pad to make contact with the head. If the elbow pad is making contact, the concrete one, with any other part of the body, it's a bruise. It's no big deal. You move on with your life. It's not a big thing. It's when that elbow pad makes contact with the head. Mm-hmm. And since Don Cherry first said that, that's got to be 25, 30 years ago that he first said that and started banging that elbow pad on the desk during Coach's Corner. Well, we've obviously changed things so dramatically in terms of being able to make contact with the head in a hockey game. It's any sort of contact, right, is snuffed out now. So you're going to get suspended if that elbow comes up in the head, regardless of what's on the guy's arm, right? In the meantime, I do appreciate those elbow pads because you'll fall probably in the context of an NHL game anywhere from 1 to 5 times. And you're coming down on the elbows. And if you've ever had cheap elbow pads on, man, you've got an injury waiting to happen if you've got crap elbow pads.
Right. Anyway, you know, up for debate. The other thing I would do to improve the NHL, Stevie, you got to get rid of all European players. There's no place for them here. Okay? There's no place
you
for
people.
Them. That cost him his job, wasn't it? You people.
Well, he wasn't even talking about.
Or those people, you know, whatever.
Yeah. He was just talking about new Canadians in general. And that's where he basically fell into big problems. When he sets it up with discussion of new Canadians, doesn't see them wearing a poppy. You people, you come here and you like our milk and honey. The least you can do is buy a poppy.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, he didn't frame that very well at all. We all knew exactly what he meant when he said, yeah, you people. I saw a lot of people try and defend Don Cherry with the you people thing. And the reality is the way he himself framed it, you couldn't really construe it as anything but racist.
Right.
Anyway, I mean, people say, I talk about Leaf fans all the time. I say, you people drive me crazy. You know, that's okay. There's nothing racist about that. But when you framed it the way Don Cherry did, there's really no gray area.
Well, he just didn't like European players, you know? He did, 100%. Anyway, I'm being sarcastic, of course. The other one, the last one I changed, more scoring, man. You got to get more scoring. So either smaller equipment by the goalies or bigger nets, if you're asking me what I would do. And that might be the number one thing I would do in the NHL.
Okay, I'm changing my pick. I've got my five. I'm going to pull out Gretzky handing out the cup, and I'm going to put smaller goalie equipment in there. Totally forgot about that. I want that one too.
Right.
It's yours. Cool. I'm still giving you credit, but yeah, that's a bad one for sure. I mean, I think everybody would want that. Except for the goalie union, and somehow they're the most powerful union in the world. They're like the mafia. Why can't they why don't we just wake up one morning, the whole world, except if you're a goalie or the parent of a goalie, those are the only people that don't want goalies to wear smaller gear. And thus we see more goals scored.
Right.
Any final thoughts today, James, to this quirky show?
No. I thought I did, but I'm going to save it.
I am officially going to stop asking you for final thoughts.
I'm on a bad roll, am I? No, I don't have many final thoughts.
That's okay. No problem. Well,
I just pumped out about 30 thoughts, okay, through the whole show. And then hit me with, okay, I need a final thought.
Yeah. No, I hit you cold. Like, I never asked that at the end of the show. You're right. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.